Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, we dance where we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing label. We're off the mad in Camelot, we sing from the die of Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He, he, he says the turtle. All rise for King Shazam the turtle and the Knights of the Round Table.
tells his father how he really feels. A handshake or a pat on the back is all that he reveals. I'd like to right that wrong here in this little song. Thank you for shaping my life. Thank you for teaching me all you can. You are no ordinary man. No, no, no. You make me everything I am. Thank you for taking the time. Showing me the way. And thank you for being there when I need you. Thank you for every single day. Now I've been blessed with a son of my own. Got my own bedtime stories to tell. Raise him half as well as you raised me. Yes, I'll be doing pretty well. Thank you for your guiding hand. Thank you for making my dreams come true. You're an extraordinary man. Proud of you. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for showing me good from bad. I guess I'm only really trying to say thank you for being my dad.
Thank you. Heaven might be a mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Back on. Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. That was probably not a good idea to do a show today, and it's probably not going to be a very good one and may even end up being very short. Posted a picture over there in the chat room. And this is a picture of my family. Small part of my family, but a big part of my family. It's my mom, my dad, my wife, and me. And so I wanted to talk about family today. There's a word out there that they call dad or father or whatever. You know, there's a there's a whole lot more to being a dad or a father than people really realize. You know, you could have a biological father and he could actually never be there whenever you're growing up, and even if he is, he might not actually be doing the job. And so I found myself in a circumstance to where I had a what they call a stepfather, and I hate that terminology because he was my dad. He was the one that did the job. He was the one that he was there for the advice, and he was there consistent, and he was there with love. So I can't even tell you how many years I spent with this man and my mom and my brothers. But I can tell you that he did the job. Now it's a very large family. Got a lot of boys and girls of his own. And still had the time to take care of me and my brothers. And my mom. So this picture that I posted in there, it was a couple days ago. And it's during my mom's 70th birthday. And about two days after my mom's 70th birthday, my dad passed away. I was sitting by the pond and it kind of blindsided me when I got the call. But what I'm thankful for is that in this picture, it was the last day I got to see my dad alive. I got to give him a hug, tell him I loved him. We did that every time we seen each other for the longest time. When I got older and wiser and started realizing how important family was. I always want my family and I want my friends to know. That they're loved before I leave them. As you can see in this picture, we're all happy. Got my daughter in the background, grandchildren, my aunt. Mom had a pretty good birthday party that day. This world, heard me say many times, it's kind of messed up. It's kind of backwards. People don't necessarily get their priorities straight. And sometimes we get so busy we take for granted the time that we have to spend with one another. That's why That's why I always say that you need to make every time the best of times. Because you never know when it's going to be the last time. You tell them you love them when you see them, and you tell them you love them when you leave. I wish I could reach out and I could just heal all the wounds of all this world. I wish I could just reach out and fix it all. I don't have the power to do that. All I got is the power to love the best that I can, the people in my life and the people that I come in contact with. Because I learned a long time ago how important it is. This word that we call family. Family aren't just blood members. Family are friends that you spend time with. Family are... we're all family. At least that's the way it should be. You know, I ain't always been... I don't know what the words are, what I want to say. I was a little rowdy when I was younger. Let's just say that. And I didn't always understand how lucky I was to have the people that I did in my life. Now I had I still have somewhere in this world a biological father. He didn't do the job. And my first stepfather, he did part of the job. And he since passed away. But the man in this picture right here, his name's Joe. My mom's name's Carol, and they loved each other a lot. Joe's always been there ever since the day he showed up in our lives. He's got a very large family. Lots of grandchildren. Last count, I think 40 some odd grandchildren. That's a big family. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in all the craziness that's going on in this world that we overlook the simple and the most important things of all. Sometimes we don't call when we should, or we don't say things that we should while we had the opportunity to do so. Now, I'm so incredibly thankful that the last time I seen my dad, there was a picture like this taken. My sister-in-law snapped this photo on her phone and she sent it over to my wife. Today I'm kind of at a loss. Shit, I usually ain't short for words to say. And like I said, I might not have, I probably shouldn't even have came on the air. If I have any advice to give the world out there, it has to be that you gotta love your family with all your heart. You gotta enjoy every moment that you get to spend with them. try to keep all your promises, and try to just try to make every day great. See, there's a lot of laughter and a lot of smiles going on in this picture. One thing about my family, some of which you can't see because the picture didn't go all the way around the room. Every time I see my family, I'm bound and determined I'm going to make somebody smile. A lot of us are getting old and gray, and grandchildren are growing up and getting bigger. And if we had the time to actually sit down and talk about it, we got stories to tell about all the journeys and adventures in life that we had shared. Trials and tribulations, and worries and heartaches, and fun and adventure. That's what families do. Somewhere out there in this world, there's families in trouble right now. And there's other families rushing to the rescue. There's people taking care of one another. And that's what people do. This little group in this photo, it's my family. The man sitting there in the white shirt, that's my dad. He did the job. If you're a father, or what they call a stepfather, and you step in there and you do the job, it doesn't matter who's biological. It matters when a man is honorable enough and strong enough to step up and take care of a child, to raise a family, and to do it with love from his heart. Give good advice when it's needed and be stern and consistent. That's what fathers do. So I take everything that I learned from that man and I try to pass it on to my kids. So I could take everything that I learned from my mom and try to pass it on to my kids. They helped mold me into what I am today. So tired. I don't know what else to say to you folks. I don't know what to tell the world to try to get them to understand. You never know. You never know when the last time you're ever going to see anyone. Whether it be your family, your friends. And so my solution is this. When you see somebody you care about, you tell them how you feel. When you leave them behind, you need to leave them with a little bit of love from your heart so that they always know. We're not always there for each other as much as we should be. Now, if you carry that love in your heart and you carry your family with you everywhere you go, then they're never far away. I just gotta take a break, folks. Sometimes saving the world isn't cracked up. Oh, it's cracked up to be. Sometimes you just need to lay down and take a nap.
yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Summer's come and the days are getting long. I waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. Jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night. Baby, get ready.
No friends to help. friend. While he is sleeping in his bed, maybe your friend's name think I'm just a stranger. My face you never will see no more. But there is one promise that is given. I meet you on God's golden shore.
He'll meet you on God's golden shore.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I've been joined by Barry and Raymond, and kind of started off a little rough go there this morning. I tried to put a little bit of stuff out from my heart that I wanted people to understand about family. I posted a photo over there in the chat room of me and my mom and my dad and my wife. And got some bad news the other day, yesterday, and went out to be with the rest of the family, and just kind of been in a, I don't know what you'd call it, a funk ever since, because it's just, I don't know, it's like getting blindsided by a freight train yesterday when I was sitting by the pond and I received the call and got the news. You know, I talked to my, once again, it's that terminology that I can't stand, my stepbrothers and sisters, and we all said a prayer. Actually, Joey said the prayer, but we all was there together in that prayer. And it was a heartfelt prayer, sending him to our Lord Savior, Jesus. And I told all my family of how important my dad was. And I explained to him that even though I wasn't blood, as far as biological, that I love each and every one of them. And I told him how important that this man was to me. Because as a child, he stepped in there when I needed a father, and he did the job. And he's been there ever since. I was really young whenever Joe showed up in my life. And him and my mom, they were deeply in love. And they went through a lot of adventures, a lot of hard times, trials and tribulations together. And we all did it as a family. And I just try to reach out to each of you to make you know that it's important that you take advantage of every time that you get a chance to see somebody, every time that you're there, that you treat that time as the best times and the, potentially the last times, because you never know. If you look in this family, if you look in this picture, you would swear that nothing was wrong. Everything was right. I mean, this is why I said I was literally blindsided when the call came in. I promised my dad a fishing trip in my new pond. And because of his health and situations and weather or whatever, it just never came to be. But I'm going to make that fishing trip happen. And I'm going to do it with one of his sons. In his honor. I know that there's a lot of people out there being through a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of people going through a lot of stuff, and there's people in Florida right now battening down the hatches for a bad storm, and there's people in Texas have been going through untold miseries. There's families coming out there to help families. There's people, strangers, coming in to take care of their brothers and sisters all over. And that's what families do. Families aren't just there, you know, in name only. They're there to be through the good times and the bad times and to try to prop each other up. It's like these two gentlemen that joined me on this show, these two family members that came in to hopefully help me save today's show. These are two of my brothers that are around this world. They're two folks that have so many stories to tell about all the adventures and trials and tribulations they've been through. So it's not just me in this world that has things that we're concerned about, things that we're trying to fix in the world. For the most part, the best I got is to leave it all in my God's hands and have faith that everything's going to be all right. I got to spend my mom's birthday with my dad, and the last words that came out of my mouth was, "I love you." And he said, "I love you too." So for that, I count my blessings that the last thing that I ever said, the last time that I ever saw him, was from the heart. And I wish that each and every one of you out there, every time you're around your friends and family, even though you might be having a bit of a rough go at the time, to take that into consideration, that the last impression that you put on somebody's heart and mind is always a good one. You treat each other like gold every chance you get, every time you get a chance. So Barry, Raymond, how's life on your part of the world?
Well, go ahead, Raymond. I'll talk first. This is about "I love you." When those three words are spoken with feeling and meaning, they have a lot of power.
I agree, brother. I agree. I just wish more people would just realize how much actual power that you have in your words. You know, in Genesis, in my faith, it says that God created man in his image. And he put us down here and he gave us free will. He gave us a lot of power. A lot more power than we realize. And the day we decide to utilize that and understand, you can take the words coming out of your mouth and the words from your heart, and you can literally raise somebody up to the highest reaches of heaven, or you can take those same words and you can lower them down to the greatest, darkest abyss.
Body slam them.
Yeah. And that's something that when you're around people, all your family, your friends, strangers, you got a lot of power in the words that are coming out of your mouth. You can make things happen in this world. And in my book of faith, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. You could speak to the mountain and it would move. And I believe that. I believe that there's people out there right now moving mountains. You know, this world, we got so many things going on right now. It's so incredibly overwhelming. It's just mind-blowing how many things are actually going on in this world today. And the ones that you're going to need the most, your family and your friends, you need to understand. They're irreplaceable. So the best advice that I can give while we're all going through this thing that we call life and these trials and tribulations is to always treat everyone just like Jesus from my book of faith said that you do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. That's not such a bad thing. Even if you're a non-believer, or even if you don't have any faith, or not even sure, that you just treat people right.
You know, that we could make that the number one golden rule, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That statement alone, if people just live by that statement in their life, what a change we'd see. But unfortunately, society isn't there yet. She does.
Yeah, we're...
My feelings, Jim, my thoughts and prayers are with your family. She did. I went through the same thing you're going through right now, about 3 years ago when I lost my father. And I tell you, it was kind of ironic. I talked to him about 3 days before he actually fell and broke his hip. They took him into the hospital, and he died from pneumonia 2 days after being in the hospital. Lots of us have heard many stories about older people going in hospitals and dying. Well, that happened to my father. And I didn't even get a chance to see him before he passed away. So that was a tough thing to go through. It's a tough thing that any of us have to go through. But you know what? I know my father's in a better place. He had a very, very strong relationship with Jesus Christ all his life. He was a very, very strong religious man. And I know where he is right now. I know he's looking down and saying, hey, just keep up the good fight, guys.
Well, I can find some peace in knowing that I feel this, that my father's in the same place that he went to be with the Lord. It's just, you know, as humans, well, I guess we're kind of selfish, you know?
Yeah, of course we're going to grieve. But you know what? The grieving for me went away very quickly because I was actually celebrating the fact that my dad was in a place that I would love to be. And I will be there someday, but I'm going to do my thing on Earth first, and when my time's up, I'll go. But, you know, it really, the funeral we had for my father wasn't a funeral, it was a celebration of his life and what he did as a human being growing up and the people that he touched. And the grieving goes away when you really sit down and think about where he is right now and what he's doing. There's no pain, his body's been rejuvenated, his life has been rejuvenated, and he is with people that he loves to be with. Because they got there before him, and all the people that went there before him that he gets to meet, and all the good Christians through history that he gets to shake hands with.
Yeah.
What a great time. What a great time.
I kind of told my wife on the ride home from the hospital, I said, I don't know how this is actually going to sound, and it's probably not going to sound too good. But considering all the things that Mom and Dad had gone through for the last year or so, it's good that he's not suffering anymore, because he had to go through...
Amen.
He had to go through dialysis, and we all know the stories about that. It's pretty miserable. So I'm thankful that the Lord found this. It is hard to take him at this time, you know.
The Lord works in strange ways to this. And maybe it was his time to take him home. Maybe he was tired of seeing him suffer. Maybe it was just that time. And we aren't in control, buddy. We don't make these decisions. He does. When your number is up, your number is up. He takes you home. Man, I'll tell you, your father today is not suffering. He is pain-free. He is smiling, buddy.
Yeah, and I...
So, smile. When you think about that, that'll take away the grief. It took away the grief in my heart. I felt my father and me were very, very close all my life. Even when I left home, I was always talking to my father. He was my guide. He was my strength. And when he left, of course, we wanted to stay. We wanted him to be here forever. But, unfortunately, that's just the way it is. And my grieving, really, after a very short period of time, turned to a celebration of his life, the things that he did, and the joy that he brought us. And the fact that he now is not suffering, that he is in a beautiful place.
No, I just thank the Lord.
It's a tough, it's a really tough thing to go through, Shiz, but we're human. We all go through this.
Yeah, I know.
Unfortunately, being a human being, we all have to go through these things in our life. You know, we've all lost good friends. We've all grieved. I mean, I lost my mother when I was 16 years old. It was the hardest thing that I ever went through in my life. My biological mother died when I was 16 from cancer.
I just thank the Lord for this picture that I'm looking at. Because when my sister-in-law took this picture, if you click on the link that's in the chat room, you'll see that's my mom and me and my wife and my dad. And this was the last moments we spent with each other, and I'm thankful for this picture. I'm thankful for the time, last moment that I got to spend with my dad alive, that The last words that came out of my mouth was, I love you, and he said, I love you too.
Amen. Good morning, Patty and Walking Turtle. How are you today?
Hey, guys. Hi, Shizzes. All I can do is just send my love out to you. I know what you're going through, and it's... I don't know. I have no words. I've lost my mom, and... My mom was sudden. My father, we at least got to spend time with him before he went. And the only thing that I can say is that they've never really truly left. I've still got them in my heart. And I don't know how to make it better, Shazuz, but sending a big hug to you and all my love.
Well, I appreciate that. I want to take this time of whatever that we got to just point out to the world how important it is that you treat each other right. I mean, you've heard this so many times from so many different people that has lost loved ones, and look at all the things that humanity's been through since the dawn of time. Look at all the wars and all the craziness and everything that's going on right now in life. There's just so much. And there's so many people out there in this world that they don't live every moment as if it could very well be their last and take care of one another. They don't understand. I'm at a terrible loss for words. Normally I usually can't keep my mouth shut. I always find something to say, but at this point in the game, it's just that I can't stress enough how important it is to let those that you know that you love them and send that love to them straight from the heart. Every single time you see each other, every single time that you leave each other, you should say what's in your mind, and you should say what's on your heart. It's that important. I know that there's going to come a day, according to my faith, I get to go back, I get to see my dad, and that's wonderful. I'm just so happy for it. But it's these times right now while we're down here, we're stuck, and man, when you think back of all the memories that you shared with your best friend and your brothers and your sisters and everybody that you love, you think about all the times, and it's in the human condition. It's like we have a selfish part of us that just won't let go, and it's hard. It's painful. But like Barry said to me, and it's kind of helped me out a lot here since he said the words, that I got so many memories in my mind to feel so blessed over. I know that my dad's suffering's gone, and he's in a much better place. But for the rest of us that here are left behind in this world, I want to say something or do something to make this world so much better, to understand how important each and every soul on this world really is.
You do that every time that you're on the radio, Shazuz. That's why I love you so much.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Patty, and I feel the same way about Raymond and doggone it, I just forgot Barry's name.
It's Barry.
What? Barry, what's your name?
Let me think. Hang on. I knew that when I came in here.
Don't you hate it when you get old and your brain just kind of gets this little click and it stops in a while?
It's called, excuse the language, brain farts.
Yeah.
Get them a lot. You know that. Driver's license. Just in case I forget my name, I
can't
look at that.
Yeah, who are you? Hold on, let me get my driver's license out. There it is. That's who I am.
I know you're going to get on a radio show, and you got a deep thought, and you're ready to come up with a really straight deep thought. Somebody else is talking, you're listening to what they're talking, and then all of a sudden the thought's gone and you can't get it back. And somebody says, "Are you thinking, Barry?" And I'm going, hang on. A minute ago, but happens all the time.
Sometimes I've heard it said that life is some sort of cruel joke, man. You start off as a youngster and you end up as a youngster, and all the way in between you're tripping over everything under the sun. But, you know,
what an adventure.
Yeah.
It has been.
I always say that life is like wrestling a cactus. I mean, if you really think about it, I gave a visual of imagine yourself barefoot running 7 miles across the blazing hot sand, and you see this 6-foot-tall cactus, and you wrestle that thing to the ground, and when you complete and accomplish your task, you stand up, and just like Rocky from the movie, you yell, "Yo, Adrian, I did it! It hurt like heck, but I did it!" You know, and get to the end of life, and oh man. It was an adventure. There were good times and bad times and sad and happy, and it was just a buffet of every kind of emotion imaginable.
Yeah,
why do we do this to ourselves?
That's all, you know what? I look at my life as just being a journey. I've done things in places. I mean, I look at my past, and really at this point in my life, I don't recognize that person, what that person was in my early years. And now I kind of look back and I go, well, you know, it's all a growing experience to kind of get you to where you're supposed to be at this point in your life. We're supposed to have a little bit of wisdom and knowledge we can share with our youngsters and our kids and our family. My family sure has been paying attention to what I've been saying lately, because stuff I've been telling them for 4 or 5 years they see coming true. So you keep talking to them, keep sharing the love, and eventually the walls come down. I'm seeing that happen with my family right now, which is, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for that, because my daughter's having a spiritual awakening. My son is having a spiritual awakening. They see what's going on in the world. So they're kind of almost at a point now where, you know, they come up to me and they're going, well, this is terrifying stuff, Dad. You know, and it is. When people start really looking at what's going on in our world, if you're looking at inside, you know, inside the bubble, it's absolutely terrifying. But there's ways to alleviate that fear. That's what I stress to them all the time. Your relationship with whatever you identify as your creator is the most important things in our life right now, because we are going to see some catastrophic events. And I'm not saying this because I'm saying it's going to happen. I just know in my heart that we are about to see some catastrophic changes on the planet, changes that are going to shake the human being right to the core. And if you don't have a solid spiritual background, a solid spiritual rock to grab and hold on to, then you're really in a lot of trouble in your future.
Well, I think that's probably another reason why we need to respect the relationships that we have with one another, you know, because we're going to need each other more in these days than we ever needed each other before. You know, that's the way my heart feels about it. I mean, I wish it could be an everyday. You know, I'm kind of like the guy standing out on the battlefield saying, can't we all just get along, you know? Because every one of us has seen all the stuff, the opposite spectrum of love. We've all seen it, man. And it ain't good.
A good social experiment to do, folks, is just take your day today, and instead of when you walk into a store or looking down or looking around, look at somebody walking by and smile and say good day.
Yep.
Do that to everybody you meet today. Because I do it, and it's unbelievable the effects that has on people. And I do it because I want to say, hi, how you doing? How's your day going? And, well, all of a sudden you get conversation started with complete strangers. People, we really have lost our ability to interact with each other as human beings. And, you know, that's a subject we could talk about for hours, how it's been taken out of society, how we've been divided, how we've been manipulated into believing and thinking the way we do today. This is not the way we're designed to live, folks. This is not being alive. We're in a matrix right now, and we are a controlled entity of people that are so evil and so benign, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around it. But it's a reality that we live in, and the way that in my life to alleviate these fears and to make
to make it worth getting up and really going at it again every day is my faith. Because if I didn't have that right now, seeing what I see going on in this world, most people really are starting to go a little bit crazy. And I see that in people, that people are actually starting to lose it.
Well, I believe that too.
We gotta keep our feet on the ground, Shaziz, because there's trying times coming.
That's
and people are going to need somebody solid around them to talk to.
That's why, and I know there's probably some people that really get tired of me hearing it, because, you know, anytime anybody reads anything, they take away from it something personal with them. And the message that I got when I read about the creation of man and in Genesis, about God creating man in his own image and stuff, and I have a profound message laid on my heart from that phrase that was said. You know, if we're created in God's image, then that makes us creators. We create our own pain, we create our own suffering, we create our own destiny. We create our own path into the future. And somewhere along the line, humanity lost track of that. You know, there's a lot of responsibility with the words that come out of your mouth. There really is. If you really sit down and you're honest with yourself and you think about all the things that you've ever said or even done, and you think about what happened every time you said something to somebody, like the smile that you talked about, Barry, off of your face onto somebody else's, it started a chain reaction. This person smiling at that person's smile. Just the power of your actions alone are so mind-blowing. I always said, I wish there was a way that I could literally follow the smile from my face to see how far it traveled. And we might be amazed. That smile might go from your face to somebody in the convenience store and across state lines and then maybe on to in the airport and crossed over into international boundaries to a whole different world, and people are smiling and they don't even have no idea you even exist. But you sent that smile like a wave clear across the planet. And that's the kind of power that I believe our Creator really gave us. And He also gave us the power to destroy one another as well. I mean, imagine if instead of a smile, you did something, you gave a hateful look to the first person you met, and that same thing went clear across the planet. Now people over there are mad. Right. They don't even have no idea what the heck they're mad about. And they don't even... You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, buddy. You're spot on. Because it's an energy that we put out. The energy that comes from your heart, people feel it.
I'm sitting here staring at this picture you posted. I'd like to invite all listeners that get to the chat room to take a look. That ain't pure love. I don't know what it is. Your dad's got a smile and a twinkle in his eye like you would not believe. And your mom too.
They're always so happy to spend the time with us like they do. I mean, like you said, Raymond, if you look at this picture, you see love, and that's such a wonderful thing.
Holy cow. I've been sitting here staring at it for over 20 minutes. I can't take my eyes off of it.
Well, this is what I say. I count my blessings for this day. This was my mom's birthday. And my dad stayed around to share my mom's birthday with him, and then the Lord took him home.
So that picture was taken yesterday?
Day before yesterday. Yes, after mom's birthday, she went home, and in the middle of the night, he fell out of bed. They took him to the hospital, and from that point on, we got the news. And like I said, if you look in this picture, you can understand why I felt like I was blindsided, because you couldn't tell anything was wrong by looking at this picture.
Yep, you just don't know, Shaz.
But I'm wanting to raise.
I can look at his eyes, see he's satisfied with you.
I'm wanting to raise people's. I'm wanting to raise people's spirit with this picture, because these are the good times that we talk about on here. We've had a lot of hosts and founders in the past from different radio networks that had spent their time trying to do just like what we're doing right now, trying to reach out to the world and share some peace, hope, and love, and some information and, you know, guidance or whatever we can do to try to, you know, send those ripples of positive information out there. You know, sometimes we have to find ourselves to talk about the bad things as well, because we want people to you know, steer themselves close to safety or whatever, you know. But the times like this right here that you see in this photo, and the times where you guys joined me on the Knights of the Round Table, those are the good times. You guys are like my rock, my foundation. When you're around, I feel like I got a purpose. I can continue on saying what it is that I say, and your words of wisdom that you share with me and the world. This is the ball we need to keep rolling, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm thankful.
That's why that I'm here as often as I can be, Shaz, for your shows, because they are the epitome of what the world needs right now. You know, and I've had TCT Radio, and we've handled a lot of topics. We've talked about unity. We've talked about the state of the world. We've talked about how we can get from point A to point B. But your shows, the information that you put out, and just the unity that you are. I mean, it's not just a phrase to you. It's not just a catchphrase. It's not just, yeah, we'll do this show. This is your life. This is your dream. And I can share this with you. That's why I believe so much in you and what you do. And why I'm always going to be here when I can to support you in everything that you do. Even on your series that you're doing on Goliath. What a beautiful series, Shaziz. I mean, so touching, so poignant, and so real about how you can equate your adventure with Goliath to the world. And how each of us can grab a piece of that and say, yes, this is what it's about. This is truly, you're talking about a turtle, but you're talking about people, and you're talking about life and the combination of the two, how they're not separate, how they're together. This is what I love about you. You can take us to that place, and you always have. Your father, he should be so proud of who you are.
Eddie? Oh, yeah. Look at the picture. Look at his dad's face.
I'm just thankful. Yeah, I know. I know. I also noticed this, just saying, I'm just going to put this out there that... your dad looks younger than you do, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He look a lot better than I do, that's for sure.
But he's a handsome man.
He's told me on many occasions that he was proud of me, and I told him, I said, you know, you hold a lot of responsibility for your words of wisdom in life that you shared with me.
You got me, Patty. I didn't expect that.
It's true.
I'm like Patty says on Shaziz, but you know, I come in here too because I get to talk to Patty.
I'm like an old I'm like an old 65 Ford that's been abused and you know, put away wet or whatever. I have a cousin out there that recently she'd been going through hard times, and she was talking about how how we were like fine when we. She was talking about how women, when they get older, like fine wine and a classic car, and I told her, well, I'm just going to paraphrase because I can't remember exactly what I said. I basically said, well, yeah, but in my case, I feel like an old jalopy, basically banging down the road. I said, I feel like an old out-of-tune banjo in the trunk of a jalopy banging down the road.
Well, the thing of it is, the bright side is you look a lot younger than I do. So. But, if you look at that picture of you with your dad, I look at your eyes and I see, the youth. I see the excitement in life. I see what drives you. And that you've never lost that. You have never lost that magic, that touch of magic that spurs us on to do the things that we do and to seek out the new adventures, you know? And I see that in your eyes. Yeah. Really cool.
I see it too.
In my mind, I'm still a young one. I kind of look like a rough old jalopy, but I get it. I understand life, and I'm trying to share that with everyone out there. You know, I told my wife one time, and it's kind of going to sound odd, but I was standing in a grocery store one time, and I was standing there watching my wife. It was basically Walmart shopping center. Anyway, I was standing there watching my wife looking at some sort of trinket, and I could see her. I could see past the store. I could see past the scene. I saw her and the things that she was intrigued with, and the things that she, you know, interested her in life, and I actually saw her, and I fell in love with her as if we just met. Again, I mean, and I do that so many times. I mean, I have such a profound love for my wife, but it's the words to try to explain when you actually see somebody. I don't mean just like, you know, visually you get to take a look and there they are, you know, hey, yo, there's my friend, there's my wife, my sister, my brother, but when you actually see the person, and I find myself doing this with everyone that I meet. I find myself looking past everything and I see the person. And I hope that the words coming out of my mouth are understood by everyone what I'm trying to say here. These lives that we come in contact with each day, they're persons with dreams and aspirations and stories to tell, and if you take the time to actually see that person, you might be amazed. There's so much more to Barry and Raymond and Patty than you can possibly imagine. So many things that they've experienced in their life and the stories to me, I want to hear them all. If it were possible, I would want to hear every single story of every single life that ever lived on this planet. I'd want to hear them all. I know that sounds crazy. But each one of them have imprinted something on my heart that it's there. It's there forever. The things that my dad did, you know, I told everybody, he wasn't my biological father, but he was my dad. He did the job. He was there. He gave me the advice. He gave me the love. He was the family man. And he's got a large family on his side of the family. I got a lot of brothers and sisters, stepbrothers and sisters. I hate that terminology once again. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. They're my family. And my mom, I watched her throughout my entire life, and I watched the things that she had to do and take care of us and all. I am so incredibly blessed to have my mother and my wife and all my family, all my friends. I see so deep past what people, if you walk up on to anybody and you just look and you're there and you don't take a moment just to see what it is that I see, you miss out on so much. I hope any of what I just said makes sense to you guys.
Makes a lot of sense to me, just because I have a dad too. I had a father for a while. And my mother got married again, so did my father. And my mother's husband became my dad. I know exactly what he did there.
Well, when you see those individuals come up to you, family get-togethers or just special events or whatever, it's like I never want to take for granted anything, anyone. I want them to know every single time, even when I'm not there, that I'm there. That kind of sounds crazy. Once again, I mean, how can you be there and not be there? I'm always there with them in spirit. You know, I want them to know that even if I'm not around, I'm a phone call away, or that's just the way that I feel like each of the people of this world should begin to look at each other and treat each other. And I think that would start the first footstep towards healing all of mankind. And we need it, folks. We're up against some sort of evil in this world that is so far beyond imagination. We're up against storms and battles. The story that you mentioned, Patty, about us fighting against Goliath. You know, Goliath in the biblical story was a giant that was taken down by a small boy with a slingshot because he had faith in God. And each and every one of us are up against a Goliath every single time we step foot out of bed. But for us to be able to maintain the concern for one another and the love that we hold in our heart for all these trials and tribulations is a miracle in itself. And I want everyone to know out there, you're not alone. Barry's going through it. Patty's going through it. Raymond's going through it. I'm going through it. Everyone out there is going through it. We're going through a battle of epic proportions. There's people out there trying to convince us of something every single day. They're trying to manipulate us and turn and twist and do whatever they can to steer us away from one another. But our strength is like in this photo right here. There's four people that they made a family, you know. And the people in the background in the picture, my daughter's in there, my aunt's in there, my granddaughter's in there. And so I wish that any of you could have joined us in that room, because if you could feel the love that permeated that room every time we get together, that's what I want to share with the world. The feeling of what it felt like.
I feel like every time that we share with you and that you share with us, Shaziz, we feel that love, because that's what you're made of.
Well, sometimes, Patty, it seems like it's a burden and a blessing at the same time, because my heart aches when I hear anybody in trouble, and I know yours does. I know Barry's does. I hear the passion come out of your voices every time you speak. That we got a concern for the way that things are going with our family around the world, and we want everybody to be safe. And according to our own faith, we know that eventually it is all going to be all right. But it's these trials and tribulations that we find ourselves wading through that, you know, we want to take care of each other. And we want the rest of the world to want to take care of each other. I think that was the whole purpose for us to even be down here, was for us to learn that key point. That together, the energy that is you and me and Raymond and Barry, the combined energy is it's what puts that love in my heart. You know?
Yes, I do know. Same thing with Stephen in the room. You know, he put up the footprints poem, and he said that his grandmother was a Christian, and this was a favorite. I hope helps you also. And that's the legacy of the people that surround. That we are surrounded by is that we don't pull any punches. We don't expect. We don't require. There's no criteria. The people that are around you, Shaziz, and around each of us, it's love that brings us together. There's no other motive. What we want to do is we want to share the love. We want to bring people together. We want to make the world a better place, and there is no greater walk than that. That's what it's all about.
Shaziz is always talking about love this, love that.
Yes,
I've had the opportunity, the blessing, to go visit St. Dipper's Temple twice. The man doesn't just talk; he lives it.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I want to thank Stephen in the chat room for posting that. That is one of my mom's favorite deals as well, the footprints. And it talks about where somebody was walking along and having troubles or whatever. I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not saying quoting it straight from the deal. But if you read it, you'll understand what I'm saying, that the person only seen one set of footprints. And that's the time when Jesus said, that's the time when I was carrying you, you know. And that's what we do with one another. We carry each other through some really hard times. And sometimes we don't get recognition, and we're not looking for recognition. The Knights of the Round Table is a concept about bringing people to the table where we're all equals. You know, I talk King Shaziz the Terrible, you know, that's it's supposed to sound funny, because if you really know my heart, then I'm trying to be a nice guy at least. So anyway, thanks Stephen for posting that in there, and I hope some folks, if you haven't never read the Footprints poem, you really should sit down and contemplate on it a bit. I think it would benefit you in your life. This Knights of the Round Table concept, we've had some really wonderful people come to the table. And we're looking for more people out there that want to come to the table. This platform is up here for the people, for a dream that, you know, some may say that this dream is an impossible dream. But it's faith that makes the possible possible. That little parable that Jesus said about, you know, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Well, we're testing that concept here. We got the faith of a mountain, and we're trying to move mustard seeds.
I love it.
And that's why we need people to share these podcasts when you can. You know, if you're out there on your social media, look, watch it after how half of the stuff that comes flying past you from some of your friends is just some of the crazy, bizarre, potentially even rude or hateful or whatever. And tell me that they don't need somebody out there preaching peace, hope, and love. Tell me that in this world that, you know, if something is wrong and we don't throw into balance something that is right, you know, something, some words of wisdom, some words of kindness, then, you know, I got so many examples. You know, it's like if everyone in the police department is corrupt, then the whole system is bad. But if one person stands up and tries to put some goodness in there, at least somebody is doing something to make it right. Does that make any sense to you guys?
As long as there's light, then the darkness can't rule.
Yeah. Even one candle can take out a lot of darkness. I tell you what, you can light up a pretty good area with one little flame. And if we put all these flames together, You know, you see all these different times when people get together and they have candlelight vigils for certain individuals that have fallen or whatever. And to the average Joe, maybe it's not as profound as it is to people like us. When I look at that, my heart overwhelms and my eyes kind of well up with tears, but they're not tears of sadness, they're tears of joy, because these folks, for at least this brief point in time, they get it. They get what we're meant to be. And if we ever decided to come together and exercise what it is that we're capable of, you know, our Creator didn't make no trash. Our Creator was so incredibly wise and gave us so much, so many blessings that we overlook as humanity on a daily basis, and we allow knuckleheads to run amok in our governments and our companies and corporations out there that really don't understand what it's all about. It's all to them, it's about paving the stairway to heaven in gold or making some sort of fortune or whatever. But for the average Joe down there who actually has to live it and spent their time, basically suffering through life, not to say that they didn't have some good times along the way, because that's usually the way it works its way out, you know. You got good times, you got bad times. But because we lived that, we actually learned how valuable it was to have moments with each other and to have the blessings. You ask a poor man about food and you might just hear something really profound. You think about some of the people that were raised up in the poorest communities out there, and they know what it's like to go without. They are going to be the very first ones to step forward to give you their share, because they lived it.
We see that right now. She says, you know, with all the hate and anger that's being pumped out, we have Harvey that we've just gone through. We have the Florida, and of course on the news they're going to tell you all about the price gouging, all about the anger, all about the looting and all of this stuff. But when you look underneath that, when you put that up and you look up underneath, you see that everyday people, average people who were living lives totally separate from what we're talking about, the love and fellowship of each and every individual toward another, you know, that wasn't being shown before. But if you look right now and you lift up that anger and that hate and all of that hype that they're putting on the news, you'll see that people are coming together, giving of themselves. People who have nothing are doing everything they can to provide for the people that they meet, taking people into their homes, feeding people, giving them food, clothing, shelter, these things that people are doing, going to their places where they live and helping them salvage what they can. These are people that have nothing in that. They're not getting anything out of it. They're not being paid for that. They're not going to get any special recognition for that. They're simply out there because it's one being helping another because of the compassion and the love that we feel. It's not gone. If you listen to the media, they want you to think it is, but it's really not.
Yep.
The best of us comes out in these times. When we've lost everything, we still have the greatest gift to fall back on, and that is love for each other. And we see that. And that gives me hope.
Yeah, it's the average Joe that's out there in the dirty, dangerous water pulling their brothers and sisters to safety.
Well, they're going to be tried here today, folks, because Irma's 10 miles off the coast of Key West right now, and it is just causing havoc. So it's about to touch the Key West feet. It says right now it's 10 miles away from Key West.
We'll send our prayers out to them. My brother's down there in Florida.
We should all be praying for people in Florida right now, what they're going to go through, the grief and the destruction they're going to see. It's just terrible. And I think we should all be thinking about them right now.
I agree, Barry. My brother's down there in Florida, and I know y'all probably got family and friends down there as well. You know, that's one thing about this internet we got going on here. I got friends in the Philippines. I got friends in the UK. I got friends all over the planet, in Canada and United States. And, you know, some of my friends I ain't even met in person. But I'm at their heart. I'm at their words of wisdom and their kindness and the things that they share. We are so incredibly blessed to be able to do what it is that we're doing here. You know, there was a time when we may never even known each other because the possibility wasn't, we didn't have the capability of doing what we're doing right now. The access to this Skype program and the website with the chat rooms and all that kind of stuff, we can reach across international boundaries and we can touch hearts all over the land. And so that tells me that we aren't as helpless as we think we are. And the word gets out that we got people in need in Texas where Harvey had done all the devastation, and look how many people come pouring out of all different states and nations to go over there and help these people to safety and bring them food and clothing. That is the human. That is the human inside of each and every person out there. That's what we're capable of. And if we can do this in the best of times,
people's not our bad.
Yeah, if we can do this in the best of times like we do in the worst of times, we can reach that goal of the ultimate dream. I know it sounds impossible, but when you take your faith and you allow it to do what faith does, in my book of faith, Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, that's a tiny little seed. And that's all it took to move that mountain. Now imagine if all of us had the faith of a mustard seed. Imagine what we could accomplish in this world if we truly had it in our heart to do so. We could end the wars and the rumors of wars and the plagues and the famine and the pestilence, and we could make our Creator proud. Each of the people that's on this panel right now, they have made me proud. That picture with my family then, they made me proud. Every time Stephen posts something positive in the chat room and information, he makes me proud. Every time the number goes up even so much as one more listener on this radio network and others, it makes me proud. Because I know that the word is getting out there that love is the most powerful tool in our arsenal. And the things that we could literally accomplish, because I honestly believe what was said, that we were created in the image of our Creator. And I know that our Creator didn't make no trash, because I can look around me and I can see this earth. I can see the beauty and the magnificence of all that we have been given. The resources so abundant that if properly utilized, there wouldn't be no such thing as a homeless or starvation or sickness. And I think that's the message that needs to be said. I think that's the positive hope and the pebble for the day and the tomorrow and the next day. Now if we ever decide, it's easy to choose to go to war. It's easy to choose to hate. It's easy to choose to hold a grudge. It's a little bit harder to love in a way that you're going to get out there and be proactive even during the worst of times. These folks left their homes and went to Texas to get into boats and go out there and ensure that someone else was safe. They didn't know these people down there. What'd you say?
They put their own lives in danger to help others.
Yes, they did. That's the true meaning of sacrifice. I'm willing to risk my life for my brother, you know, whatever the cost. And they did it. They went down. And it's, this wasn't the only story in history. There was Katrina. There were other episodes. Even during wartime, there were people that were rushing in to try to, you know, so the fight must go on. If the fight must go on, at least we're going to be here to comfort those who have fallen or lost loved ones or whatever. We're going to try to heal the wounds of the war and all this. If you really seriously take and be honest with yourself and think back in history, even in the worst of humanity's times, there were so many good souls out there that had it not been for them, we would have literally lived through the equivalence of hell on earth. There were good people in every situation out there, just like there is today. And like one of you said just a minute ago, and I can't remember which one, because I think I've heard y'all say it one time or another, that it's the hard times whenever you really see the true humanity, when you see the true potential of mankind.
Really?
I thank my Father in heaven, and I thank my Father here on earth for making me the man that I am today. And if my dad can hear me now from wherever he is, I just want him to know once again I love him.
I thank him too, Shazus.
It's,
you know, you got a pride, but the thing is, you share it. You don't stub your nose down at people. You share it. I've been there, your house, twice. I've seen you. You don't just walk the talk, you walk the walk.
Well, Raymond, I told you you weren't getting in my house and out of my house without a hug, brother.
Got that right.
I had to warn you ahead of time.
Still got a fishing rod with your name on it up here waiting for you, Shaviz, so.
Brother, if I ever make it to Canada, I would be loving to do that. Patty, you and I don't live too far apart. Someday we got to gather somewhere in the middle and have lunch or something.
Yes, that's
so you guys are only about 4 hours apart, aren't you, something like that?
Yeah.
300 miles? Well,
we'll have to make it happen.
Yeah, go camping. Go spend a day in the bush.
I want to see Goliath.
Well,
yeah.
Jump on the nearest train, plane, or automobile, or unicycle, and show up, and I'll take you down there, and you can feed him.
Have to find somebody to take care of these rugrats.
Bring them with you.
Oh, Lordy.
There's plenty of room. Folks, we're going to keep the ball rolling as long as we possibly can. We're going to keep throwing positive pebbles in the pond. Somebody one time said, well, wait a second. If you're throwing all these rocks in the pond, ain't you going to create an island? Yeah, that's for the people that are drowning.
Yeah.
They will have some place to stand. What do you think?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds like a plan.
If we can't throw you a life preserver, we'll just build a pond with pebbles and you'll have a place to stand. That's about the best we can do.
Just don't build it in Florida.
Huh.
I shouldn't say that. I should say that. You shouldn't say that. Sorry.
Yeah. Raymond, are you in Texas?
Yes, ma'am.
How did you do with Harvey?
Harvey hit about 200 miles south of me.
Oh, well, that's good.
In fact, every time a really serious hurricane hits down in the Gulf Coast like that, hits the Gulf along the coastline, we almost always get a lot of rain up here. But with Harvey, we got nothing. I was beautiful, looking at the day. Harvey just opened up and dropped it all right there.
Yeah, that was really odd. That I, in all my time down south living, I never saw a hurricane actually stop. You know?
Yeah, I know. It's never. I studied. I went on the internet and studied tracks on hurricanes for the last 15 years, and I couldn't find anything that ever came close to acting like Harvey did. I mean, the thing came inland, went out, came in, went out. It was doing circles, pirouettes, hard rights, hard lefts. Hurricanes don't act like that, guys. And the fact that you got nothing up there, normally a hurricane came off the Gulf and it'll go right into the interior and dissipate. Well, Harvey didn't do that. It was never have I seen one act like that.
Well, on a negative note, I saw a video, and it was a documentary of basically NASA running a rocket engine for like 500 seconds. And basically it released a lot of hydrogen and oxygen into the air, and it literally produced a cloud. And in the process of this, the man that was telling the story about NASA and how they had bought up this huge tract of land so that they could make all kinds of racket out there and run tests of rocket engines and stuff or such, whatever. The guy said that within an hour after they run this thing, it was going to rain. And sure as heck, within an hour after it, it rained. Now, basic science.
To this, you know what the Hindenburg was, right? A very big balloon, lots of explosive gas. Yes, it was filled with hydrogen.
Yeah.
As soon as the fire went out, it rained for 15 minutes. I mean, a deluge. Like I was saying yesterday, I mean, you know, every action is opposite equal reaction.
Well, the science is there. And
well, you know, this morning, my son, he was on YouTube looking at government. He was trying to find weather modification government patents. So I went on the patent site, and there are
52
patents with dealing with hurricanes, in steering them, in producing cooler weather to lessen the strength of these hurricanes. I mean, there are at least 20 to 30 that I've made it through, all different methods, using cloud seeding as well as big blowers, to where they would blow air towards the hurricanes. Also, they would pump up cold water from the bottom of the ocean and bring it to the top to try and cool the waters to dissipate these hurricanes.
Yeah, there's also one that has to do with steam as well, releasing high-pressure steam into the air. This isn't science fiction. This is science fact that there are really people out there attempting, that's actually a document in existence called Owning the Weather by 2025, and it's even been said. I was surprised to hear Kennedy... The words come out of Kennedy's mouth about being controlling the weather. That was back in 1961 when he said that. Yep. Now, if the government agencies or the deep state or whatever, the secret societies of this world are messing around with nature, we talked about this a bit on the Mad Science Show yesterday. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. You know, you do something with nature, you cause some cause and effect. Just by moving the Gulf Stream over, you can change the weather all the way down the board. Just by moving the jet stream over, you can change the weather all the way down by the board. And the science is actually there to do so. It's not science fiction. It's science fact. And
the fact that what they're doing for the modification is a crime against humanity.
The folks,
absolute crime. People are starting to finally wake up to the fact that this is criminal, what they're doing to our atmosphere, what they're doing to our biosphere. If we look at crop productions in the United States in the last 3 years, you'll see a drop in crop productions. It's a fact that crops are dying.
I'll
tell you, what they're doing to our planet right now, they should all be put in front of a court and hung.
I seen in nature around in my own area, I've seen leaves with burn marks on there. And
we're seeing cedar trees die on the coast here. I've never seen the cedars die. It's the first thing I've noticed is that 200-year-old cedar trees are developing brown needles at the top now. And I've never seen that before. The cedars are the first one we've noticed. Now we're starting to notice the hemlocks also. They're getting brown leaves. Like, we're talking 100-year-old hemlocks. Healthy, strong trees are all of a sudden developing brown leaves. So you tell me something's not going on.
Well, I honestly believe there are people out there who are literally trying to play God, and ironically enough, that's what the guy that was the reporter of the deal, when he was showing when NASA fired this rocket up and set out this hydrogen and oxygen cloud, which actually produced an actual rain cloud, he said that, and it, the words came right out of his mouth. I posted the video link in the chat room yesterday. If you scroll up on the Awake Radio side, there's a one that's got a guy with a blue shirt on. It's the second one I posted, and that's the video that I'm referencing. But he said NASA's playing God. They actually created a cloud. And that, to me, really was concerning. The most concerning portion of that whole video, and out there on YouTube in the conspiracy world, one of the things that they were saying was that NASA fired this up during the time when that storm was going on, and it was already to the point where these people were already getting too much rain. They didn't need any more to add to the mix. And so you put two and two together, one could have come to the conclusion that they just literally made it worse, either unintentionally or intentionally. Nonetheless, that kind of power shouldn't be in the hands of the government, you know. And I'm trying like heck not to sound like a tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy nut, but it's just the terminology, the label that the mainstream media and the governments of the world had put out there to basically discredit anything that was said. You know, it's that plausible deniability thing that, it was an act of God. You can't blame us for it. But the words came out of their mouths. Michio Kaku, the famous scientist out there, Japanese guy, I think he is. Anyway, he was talking about how they were able to manipulate weather with lasers now. And he said that, it was done during the Vietnam War. The CIA made it rain over the enemy down there. And then the lady in charge of the interview, she's like, oh, well, allegedly. And then, he started to say allegedly after that. But nonetheless, the science is there. The possibilities there that, there are notorious, nefarious actions being gone on behind the deal for, an agenda down the line. We could go into gun control or all the different options, population control. There's just so much.
Well, they have a weather modification by artificial satellites patent here. A satellite weather modification system uses Earth's satellites to harness solar energy to modify the thermodynamics and composition of the Earth's atmosphere. I think I've read on there something like they've got thousands of satellites up there that are used for weather modification. This invention relates to solar-based weather modification and energy transfer in such a manner as to improve people's living standards by reducing their energy costs and food costs and simultaneously improving the environment. Have y'all guys noticed anything there?
Yeah, the average Joe loses.
Yeah, they didn't exactly get that part right. They got the weather modification right, but they did not get the helping the people thing right.
We need a solution in this. We need a solution for all the average Joes and Janes of the world. And the solution is something that I mentioned earlier in the show, as far as I'm concerned, about how we were created in our Creator's image. We need to use that power, that one power that we've got, that the power of the spoken word. Now, you can discount it all you like. especially if you're a non-believer, you can kind of discount it. But if you're actually honest with yourself and you think about some of the things you've said in your life and things that you got accomplished just because you spoke about it, because you talked to the right person about it, if the people of this world decide to use the power of the spoken word and they all raise their voice in unison together, we'll get their attention. We always get their attention when we gather in masses to do things. Maybe it's not always the attention that we want, but I'm here to say that if we're in disapproval of what they're doing to our planet, if we're in disapproval of what they do to us, then it's time for us to raise our voices so loud that they can't ignore it.
Well, what we need is full disclosure.
Yeah.
We have no idea. We scratched the surface, but we have no idea as to the actual technologies that they do have. I mean, what they release to us is totally surface.
20 years behind what they have.
Right.
The crazy thing about that is we're paying for it.
Right. Well, yeah, we also built their underground cities. Yeah, we built all their underground cities for them to go hide in. You know, their underground railways and everything else they've done. We paid for it all. We paid
for it. Well, you know what? The thing about that, underground cities and stuff, I'm not really worried about that because it does say in there that it doesn't matter. You can hide under a rock, but it ain't going to help you none.
Yeah,
I agree. They're all going to be going into their tombs because Mother Nature's going to kick them hard.
Yeah.
She's not.
I believe that, too.
She'll inherit the earth.
I believe that, too.
What a powerful statement that is. To think about that for a minute. How could the meek inherit the earth? That would be a conversation to have.
Well,
lots of different philosophies.
If if all the bad people decide that they're gonna, you know, do us wrong and leave us out in the cold whenever they start the doomsday scenario at play with their toys and whatever, and they run all up in their bunkers and everything, and whether it's divine intervention or some wisdom of ours that we nip it in the bud, well, they all just ran up into their own prisons because we got backhoes and we got bulldozers and tractors and four-wheel drive trucks. We might just have to keep them down there for a bit, if you understand what I'm saying.
We might have to build a couple bombs, too. They built pretty good bomb shelters to go into. So yeah, we might have to come up with something creative, but I'm sure we will.
You're sitting here thinking, what if there are no conspiracy theories? What if you just have a bunch of scientists running around experimenting with this, experimenting with that, and they have good intentions, you know? Really good intentions. But they try this, and oops. Sorry.
Well, I don't know, but I did hear somebody once say the road to disaster was paved by good intentions. And if they're tampering with nature...
I'm thinking it is all good intentions.
Well, I'd like to think that that's the best case scenario, that the government's actually out there trying to do the good job, but we still got to have our due diligence, be vigilant against all this. Thomas Jefferson said the price to freedom was eternal vigilance. And if you take a minute to think about what that means, it means you got to keep your eye out for the people that you elect as your representation of the world. And that goes with every nation.
Well, I think Raymond is right, though. I think that a lot of scientists who are working on all of this are doing it for the right reasons, but they're being given the wrong technology and the wrong... They're working under the right premise, but those who are controlling are working under another one.
This reminds me. When Obama was president, he... we're going to do a lot of good, and he sent a delegation to meet with the automobile engineers. Well, the spokesperson for Obama's group was a woman, and she stands up and she starts reading off a list that they want. They want this, that, and other in these automobiles for safety, better gas mileage. They want, and all the things they want are wanted for really good things for the people. Except for one thing.
the spokesperson for the engineer stood up and said, "Ma'am, you don't understand. You're asking us to defy the laws of physics." And she stood up very angrily and said, "You are the one that does not understand. We are the government. We'll just change the law." You in Congress?
Well, and then you also have the previous experiments done at the turn of the century where they took cars and put in gases and then drove through streets these chemicals and biological things, and it was done just to make sure that, okay, can we combat this? If we let this loose, can we combat it? That was the reasoning behind it. And then we have the syphilis studies. All of these things, on the face of it, you could argue the point that, well, we're doing it in for the right reasons, even though some are going to suffer. And this is what the control uses to peddle all of this. And like with our weather that we're experiencing right now, there is a problem with the climate actually changing, because that's what climates do. Yet we do know that there are solar factors that are playing their part in this, and that these factors can be and will be climate changing on their own. This is a natural thing. Now you have 8 billion people on the earth, and these climate changes that are natural will affect the earth in a way that many will suffer. So the altruistic thing is for the scientists to say, I can save the world. You know, I can do this. But the technology that they are utilizing is not going to help save the world. It's going to complicate every issue, but they're not being told that. Now, I posted a video, which I think everybody should see. I think I posted it to you, Shaziz, about this scientist who did a 10-year study without funding, because nobody would fund him, and that's a key thing right there. When they don't want to fund you, then you must be on to something. But he did a very, very brilliant scientific study over a 10-year period having to do with the sun and this Maunder minimum and the cloud cover, and how the cloud cover is so important to mitigate the radiation coming through to us that is usually absorbed by the sun, but because of the Maunder minimum, these minimums we go through, and our tether, our magnetic tether, our shields cannot withstand this, and the sun's shield also shrinks back, which allows more radiation. So he did this study to find out what the lower level clouds, why we see so much more on an average without chemtrailing. And he found out that these clouds are actually our atmosphere emitting these Maunder minimums and the radiation that is allowed through. They won't allow his science in. They denied his paper for like 4 or 5 years. He finally got it recognized, published in two different science magazines or whatever, and then they pulled it immediately after because Al Gore, the climate change guy, says, no, get that out of there. Well, we're dealing with a reality that's true. There are climate changes that are going on that are not the average normal climate changes that we've been used to in the past, 500 years or whatever. Yet, if we don't do something, there will be loss of life. This is a fact, because when these minimums come around, then climates change, food sources dry up, there are extinctions that happen. All of these things do happen, but they're preparing in the wrong way. They're trying to seed the atmosphere with these chemicals and things that supposedly will absorb this radiation and everything, but what it's doing is it's complicating things, because it's putting more pollutants and more toxins into the environment. So you're going to kill the environment to save it. It's much like chemotherapy, you know. You gotta kill the cells in the body to save the cells in the body, you know?
You know,
Every time five says, Canadian Cancer Society will play that thing that they do.
It's amazing. As we sit here and we talk about the power that we have as far as our technology and our science, and I say something as simple as, you know, the power of the spoken word, where people really, I don't think they, with the exception of the people on this panel and some of the ones that listen to this and other people that we are like, you know, what we would call awake or whatever, really realize how much power humanity has to either completely destroy everything that is around us or to completely build it up and work in perfect harmony with nature. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. I posted that link below.
We've been given an amazing gift. And whether it be good intentions or bad intentions, or misguided wisdom or whatever, we really seriously have to, be good caretakers, so to speak, of each other. And even the ones that we elect to be our leadership, we need to show them guidance, because I don't care how many years you went to college or how much wisdom you think in your head, if something as simple as words from the mouth of a child can come out with wisdom of somebody who would have been around on the earth for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and you're not listening, if you're not listening when nature speaks, if you're not recognizing the signs I just mentioned earlier, there are burn marks on my leaves, on all my trees, and I'm like, well, where did these come from?
Well, you know what the kicker is, Shaziz? The kicker is that we do have the technology that will allow us to get through this Maunder minimum without massive loss. We have these technologies. You have produced these technologies. Other people have produced these technologies. There's a way of getting through all of this, but they're not being promoted because they provide no net worth. There's no control mechanism for the control to keep, you know, that control over us. All of the technologies that you have developed and others like you, and all across the board, we have the technology that will allow us to get through these Maunder minimums in relative comfort, you know, so to speak, without these great losses of foods and resources and things like this, but they're not being promoted.
Well, I agree.
That's the true shame.
When you hear words that come out of political people's mouths or politicians or representatives of the world, and they say words like never let a good crisis go to waste, or what's the other one out there during wartime, the collateral damage and stuff like that, you know, or the ends justify the means kind of thing. We got every piece of the puzzle necessary to fix the problems of this world if we actually take the time to listen to one another and pull our resources and our talents and gifts together. Ain't nothing we can't do.
But what did they say? What did they say will cure our situation right now? If they tax us and they get us to give money, then the climate will be okay.
Well, what are they going to do with that money?
This is their solution. They're going to pay the climate.
They're going to build it.
They're probably going to pay the sun.
They're going to build a giant umbrella?
Yeah.
And block out the sun?
Carbon tax, buddy. It's the answer.
Yeah. That's a ridiculousness. Yeah, that's the ridiculousness that is their solution to the problem at hand, is that you're going to take taxes from people, and hopefully that's going to deter them from you know, driving their car or running their factories too hard or find cleaner ways to run their factories, which is pure ridiculousness, because if you're taking money from people and they need to reduce their carbon by modifying their vehicles to burn cleaner or whatever, they're going to need all the money that they can get to engineer what needs to be done to make it happen.
Well, not only that, Jesus, but even people have stepped up. People have stepped up. You got cars that run on water. You got cars that run on vegetables. You got cars that run on magnetics. You got all of this technology been developed in garages just like yours. All of these things have been sorted out. These people can lessen their footprints. When they go off grid, the cities come in, they say, no, you can't. You have to hook back up to the grid. There is nothing here that is a positive force. If they really wanted people to go on a renewable resource-based system, then they would allow us to. They don't want that. They want the money.
They should.
That lets you know that Raymond's right. The people want the right thing, but the control doesn't.
You're right, Patty. If they wanted, if they really were concerned about the environment and the people, they would be encouraging people, even pleading with people, go off the power grid, go off the power grid, put solar up, put wind up, do whatever it takes, because this is a serious situation. But because they want to just collect money, it don't seem so serious. If you understand what my point is about that. You know, like this disaster that's been going on over there in Japan with Fukushima, with the radioactive materials and such, we don't have all the specifics of it, because we're never told all the specifics or how important it really is to not be allowing stuff to flow into the Pacific Ocean and such. And it goes back to the BP oil spill as well. You know, when you're pumping chemicals down there that's an oil dispersant, you also got to use the basic science. What fish have oil in them, people have oil in them. And, you know, if that's going to do that to the crude oil, what's it going to do to everyone else? You know, common sense isn't so common when it comes to the choices that these turkeys are making on our behalf. And so the solution, the only solution that I can see at this point in the game, is for people to start using their voices and to make it be heard. We're not advocating no violent overthrow of any government or any kind of revolution or anything. We're trying to advocate somebody put some common sense out there, just like we've been doing all along, pointing, there's technology there, there's technology there, there's technology that's been around since the 1800s and prior, there's technology, there's alternatives to everything that is that you're sitting there complaining about. The people in the environmental that complain about the nuclear power industry should be over here saying, look what he's showing you right there. You don't have to use that over there. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and you know all the chemicals you keep talking about, they're pumping into the Gulf?
Yeah.
Well, when it boils down to the fact they screwed up, the scientists are going to say one word, oops.
Yeah, that's it. Just like the doggone EPA is supposed to be the Environmental Protection Agency, and when they busted a hole in that mine and flushed all that crud down the river, They didn't get charged with anything. They basically got just told everybody downstream, oh, don't worry, just wait for the crud to float by and then you can start drinking the water again.
Yeah, oops.
Really? Come on, folks. You know, I know that by ourselves, one of us, even myself, I don't have all the answers to everything out there, but the combined knowledge between Perry, Patty, myself, and Raymond, and everybody who shows up in these chat rooms, there should be more Shaziz Radio Networks out there, or any other name that you want to tack on to it, and more networks out there of people doing the same thing. There should be more people sharing podcasts with people to show everyone out there that there is a way. If you want to save this planet, we can do it. We have every bit of technology necessary to resolve all the situations that we find so disturbing. Starvation, sickness, homeless. There ain't no reason for anybody to be homeless in the year 2017. And if you have people out there in supposed secret societies or black agencies or whatever you call them, deep state government agencies that believe that the ends justify the means for, depopulation of the world and such, then we really got a problem. And it needs to be shouted from the top of every mountain. We're not into depopulation. We're into taking everything that we've got and utilizing these resources fairly across the board. You know, the United Nations is the biggest misnomer to me. It's basically a joke because you're supposedly taking all these people from all the different nations, all the leaderships, and you're uniting under, you know, one cause to make the world a better place, but there are mistakes after mistakes that has come up out of there and other agencies like them. The ones that are down there in the trenches that are actually saving the people in danger is the average Joe. It doesn't need to be a one world religion or a one world government. It needs to be a one world idea amongst all the people out there that we're going to do only the best that we can for one another. And if your government's sitting there trying to fine you for going off the power grid and reducing your carbon footprint, that's pretty hypocritical. Then your brothers and sisters around the world should come and stand beside you and say, look, you just said that our planet was in danger. This man or this woman just went off the power grid and reduced the carbon footprint at least as large as they could, and you should be thankful that they did so. But instead, what do we get? Taxes and ridiculousness. We get people out there that are so concerned about their jobs or their government and the taxes and everything that they can do with that money that they don't care about the truth of everything.
Well, yeah. You know, another thing too is like the cow farts that they produce.
I love that
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how many other animals do you think on this earth fart?
Well, that's why I said caveman killed the dinosaur, because you can imagine how big a dinosaur biscuit would be.
Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering.
And look.
But they make meters for that, Patty.
Yeah, you're going to put a meter on the cows, charge everybody. The ridiculousness.
Make sure you don't feed your cube limit.
You know, I joke all the time about you can always trust your government, but sometimes, you know, it's not such a joke. And
we have to laugh about it a little bit because it's so hypocritical.
Yeah,
there's an old Indian joke about that. I'll have to tell you guys.
Yeah. We need a little humor just so
we can see a foot off the top of the blanket and sew it onto the bottom to make the blanket longer.
Yeah, that makes about as sense as
the wise old Indian chief said that.
That makes about as much sense as standing out there protesting save the trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign. And I know I've said right. That ad nauseum, but come on.
Really?
You know, get out there and plant a tree.
Go to solar, don't plant a tree.
Cities that pass dumb, stupid laws. And it's not a dumb law. It's not stupid. They voted for it to not use wind power inside the city limits of Louisville. However, the city fathers that voted for this and passed it almost unanimous, then they turned around and gave it to some young kid to actually write the words of the law. They just passed the law. You can't use wind energy in Louisville. So this kid has no concept whatsoever of engineering or physics, and he writes the law and says it point blank. I can almost recite it verbatim. It is illegal in the city of Louisville to generate electricity or mechanical energy by any use of wind power. Yet every telephone pole that is metal inside the city limits of Louisville has a ground wire on it. Why? Because as the wind blows across it, it generates static electricity, and if it wasn't for the ground wire, you'd walk 15 feet away from that thing, and it will knock you senseless.
Yep.
Hey, they're generating electricity and putting it into the ground.
And they say there ain't no such thing as free energy.
Wait a minute. Then our city courthouse and library is full of trees. These trees are sucking water out of the ground. It's going up into the leaves. The wind is blowing across the leaves, causing evaporation, a cooling effect. So you stand under a tree, and it's not shade that cools you. It's the evaporating water. So they're actually using wind energy to generate mechanical energy, cooling. The city of Louisville is in violation of their own law by over 25,000 or 30,000 times. But they're a city, they can't be fined.
Right.
Well, back in the late 1800s to the early 1900s, they used to have fans, electric fans, that had pretty much an open face and had a brass blade on it.
Right.
And I figure probably, several hundred people probably got their finger whacked by that thing by, getting too close to it or putting their finger. Grandpa used to tell me all the time, boy, don't put your finger in the fan, whatever. It'll get cut off. But at some point, they started using a little bit of common sense and said, well, since this many people keep putting their finger in that fan and getting hit by the blade, we'll put this grid over the top of the fan. It'll still get the air out, but nobody will be able to poke their finger in it.
See, that's the thing, though, Shaziz. That's the thing, is that somebody can design and invent something, and other people will say, well, we got to make that better. Innovation,
Yeah.
The first person that sucked their finger in that fan blade said, hey, we got to do something about this. And then all of a sudden, they figured it out.
Yeah. Well, the point of that is that there was some folks that were concerned about birds getting whacked by the windmills, and so I said, put a screen on it. They can't fly into it or whatever, There's a solution for every problem, is the point I'm trying to get to. Every single
Two
problem out
like
there.
To join.
Somebody throw him up in the chat room there. There is a solution for every single problem out there if we're willing to take the time and resolve it. The solution isn't standing idly by and believing that you are not strong enough or capable of doing anything. Just the words coming out of your mouth, just the posting the links in the chat room and sharing on your social media networks and getting people to the round table to have the conversations and to discuss and share the solutions. That's what this is all about. This isn't a make me feel good kind of deal. This is a kind of where we see a need out there in the world and we're trying to address it to the best of our abilities. We got our trials and tribulations along the way. We got our own personal lives. Each of us, Barry's got his family and Patty's got hers and Two Dog's got his and Raymond's got his and I got mine. We got trials and tribulations, but because we love everyone equally and we love our family and we want our family to live in a better world, we have to speak out against the lack of common sense that is running amok throughout the world. We can fix it if we choose to do so, but it's going to take a combined effort. If you go over and you click on the Knights of the Round Table podcast page, I'm going to go do this right now, and I'm actually going to post the picture link in the chat room. But there's one really important picture that I keep talking about that it says it all. There's a picture, if you scroll down in on the podcast page, if I can find it here. Doggone it, I knew it was on tonight's podcast page, but where the heck did it go? Anyway, there it is, right there. Alright, I'm going to copy this link, and I'm going to jump back in the super chat, and I'm going to paste this down there. because it's really important, and ain't no better way to say it than sometimes they say pictures are better than a thousand words. Let me get this over there. But if you take a look at this picture, there's a whole bunch of people in a circle.
I'm going to go do this right now. I'm actually going to post
it. I'm going to pause that. Hear myself talking on the radio. Anyway, if you take a look at this picture, there's a whole bunch of people standing in a circle. There's one person standing outside the circle. And there's a puzzle in the center being put together. And it says, this picture says it all. You are the missing piece. That puzzle can't never be complete until you join the puzzle. You know, you take any one of these people on this panel off of this show right now, you'll never get the big picture of the message that we're trying to share. So, pass that one picture around if you would. Show it to a few people so they understand how important each of them are. So, Two Dog, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome, brother.
Good morning, my relations. How are you?
Really good, I think. Better than I was earlier. I mean, these folks came in and saved my sanity and my show.
Oh, good. It's an honor to be with you.
So, how's life on your side of the world?
Right now, I'm worried about maybe four members of my tribe that are down in Florida right now. But, you know, they couldn't get out, so they're riding the storm out. But right now, you know, I agree with you completely, Shaziz, but this is the fact. Everything in if you've noticed in the Indian way, everything is done in a circle. You have the circle of life, which is all, everything is our relation, no matter what it is. If it's alive, it's made by the Creator, so it is our relation. The fact of the matter is, my nation has been dealing with a peace movement right now, which we hold 59 flags in it, and we're hoping for more, but it's the understanding that we're all related here, and most of this problem we're having is no one is really listening. We got complete malfunctions of leaders that are doing some outrageous stuff in this world. We have to be careful.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying there. That's the whole key, and that's why I keep saying we got to shout it from every mountain, because the word has to get out. There are answers to the problems, but unless anybody is paying attention, unless they're willing to take it upon themselves to be the solution, we got our work cut out for us. It's as simple as that, you know. There's not one of us.
It's not a hard thing to do, Shaziz, as far as understanding that, well, guess what? We can all talk now. We can pretty much understand each other. So, you know, sitting in this round table is an honor to me. It always is to be on with you. So, go ahead with your show, and if I have something to say, I'll see what I can do with you. See if I can help you in any way.
Well, great and welcome. So, folks, I started off this show on a sad note, and I'm hoping I can end it on a happy note, because I shared a little piece of my life with everybody out there, and I just want that if there's anything positive that comes out of this, that you understand that when you are around your people and your friends, to always leave them with the best message, the best bit of your heart that you can possibly leave them. And if you live a life like that, you know, I played that song Simple Man on there because it just reminds me of some of the messages that my mom's gave me throughout my entire life. You know, you You try to walk the world as humble as you can. You try to be as respectful as you can. And always remember that there's a creator above you. And things will just seem to work out. So actually, there's actually a plus, and there's a lot of blessings that come along with trying to be nice to folks and let them know you care. And the folks that actually take the time to go out there and help others in need, and the folks that are rushing in to rescue folks in there, and the folks that are out there in Florida helping each other prepare for what is looking to be a pretty bad situation. Those are the average Joes and Janes of the world. Those are you. I said one time, probably many times, I probably said it, if you ever want to see a miracle, go take a look in the mirror. And understand that the miracle that you've been waiting for is looking right back at you. The miracle is you. Put all these people on this round table, and the words of wisdom and the love that comes up out of here is brilliant. It's amazing. It is a miracle. And you sharing this podcast with somebody else and uplifting their heart and giving them so much as a smile or a bit of hope is the miracle. We may have some really serious troubled times to face from here on until the end of days. But the day we realize that we're going to be doing this together as a family, we're going to hold our leaders accountable and keep our eye on, use that eternal vigilance that was talked about. We're going to take all these ideas and keep them flowing so that everyone knows, hey, look, they're pointing it out. There it is. There's the answer. You've been looking for clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. We got it if we want to use it. You've been looking for ways to work in harmony with nature, ways to feed the homeless, ways to heal the sick. There's so much information out there available. My friend Steve, he's over there in the Philippines right now. He's teaching people about gardening and such. But he's got a phrase that I use a lot because it's pretty intense. That we're sitting here right now, we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips and what we do with it. I mean, just think about what could be done. In the year 2017, there shouldn't be nobody who's homeless. There shouldn't be nobody who's hungry. And really shouldn't be anybody who's sick, because nature has provided every single cure for every single thing under the sun. And if the world ever did get overpopulated, nature will balance itself back out. That's what nature does. It's amazing what our Creator has put together. The Earth is 3/4 covered in water. It's a thermoelectric, static generator of epic proportions. Has more power than we could ever use in a trillion lifetimes. We have the wonderful sun that comes up in the daytime and warms us and basically heats up the planet and sends life-giving energy to all of us and the trees and the plants. And every single day that we wake up, it's a clean, fresh, new slate. We can either repeat the mistakes of the past, or we can go on to do something profound and wonderful for the future. At night, the sun retreats and the moon comes up, and it gives us a little night light that hopefully we won't stub our toe in the darkness, and lets us know that we're never alone. These are the gifts that have been given to us. And if we ever truly respect them, if we ever truly understand what our purpose here on this beautiful earth is, then we'll understand the true meaning of family. We'll understand the true meaning of friends. And that, my brothers and sisters, is how we save this world. My book of faith says no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. And so with that said, the time from here to there, it belongs to us. And the choice is up to us. And the responsibility is ours on how we be caretakers of the land. Has anybody got any thoughts?
I would like to address your problem with the burn spots on your leaves. There are times, it's not every year, but there's times, and it comes in a cycle, that wasps will, for some weird reason, stake and sting leaves on trees. Now, before you grab your insecticide and go out there and try to kill a bunch of wasps, I want to repeat a story that I heard when I was a teenager in high school. Now, whether the story is true or not, and whether I get it exact or not, or if maybe it's just a fable to teach somebody something. There were two farmers. Where in the United States, I don't know, but they were in the same county. Both of them had beautiful elm trees, a big forest of them, you know, acres and acres. And both of them got hit by a blight of, I guess you'd call it an infestation, not a blight, of porcupines. And the porcupines were climbing up in the trees and chewing limbs off and letting them drop to the ground. Well, one farmer grabbed his rifle and went out there and started shooting them. The other guy said, well, let me see what's going on here. Sure enough, the guy that didn't kill the porcupines, his elm forest in 2 years was flourishing like crazy. The guy that killed all the porcupines, his forest was dying. The porcupines were cutting out diseased limbs out of the trees. They were nature's way of pruning the trees. So yeah. Before you jump, learn what's going on.
There's brilliance in what you just said. You know, while these folks are out there playing God, like the reporter said about the cloud, they're causing unexpected consequences. You know, when farmers are using pesticides and really highly nutrient stuff to basically make their soil grow a healthier crop or whatever.
Are you old enough to remember anything about DDT?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived through that time.
Well,
and they were throwing this stuff out like crazy. And all of a sudden they realized that it's not a good thing. So the scientists said, oops.
It's like dominoes. You know, you got all these stacks of dominoes, which would be nature, and you take and tip one over, and they all begin to fall in order, you know. The food chain, the all the insects, everything out there has a purpose, or it wouldn't be here, you know.
Exactly. If they didn't have a purpose, they would not be here. They would have.
Nature's really powerful. Nature will balance itself out, but sometimes it takes time to overcome the damage that mankind inadvertently does, thinking they're doing the right thing.
Right.
You know, if you take anhydrous ammonia and you shoot that nitrogen and stuff down in the ground and you put a lot of fertilizers on there, well, when it rains, it'll help those crops right there. They'll flourish, you know. They'll have a big, healthy crop. But that water that runs off of that will go down into a neighboring pond. And there's a plant that I've been talking about here recently, duckweed and watermill, that will live in a highly nutrient pond. Well, once those things, because of their rapid growth, they will double in size every 1 to 2 days. The watermill, whatever it is, will be double, and every bit of the duckweed will be double. Well, that then in turn will block out the sunlight. And because that water is now so protein and nutrient rich from all the fertilizers and all the things that begin to die off underneath there, nature will take that duckweed and it will literally filter that water and try to bring that pond back to life. But in the meantime, while that green is all covered over that pond, it will block out the life-giving sunlight to all the plants that are underneath, and they will begin to die. Soon the pond will become stagnant and not fit for life. After time, when the duckweed filters out all the water and in summertime comes around and maybe a duck will land on the pond with fish eggs that it picked up from another pond, and it will begin to seed that pond, eventually life will return back to that pond. But in the meantime, what you as the human sees is nothing but a green, murky, mucky mess on there in the stinky old pond. Well, the point of that whole deal is that from the start of the farmer's good intentions all the way down to the destruction of that ecosystem that was within that pond could have been avoided by using natural things to begin with. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly what you're saying.
So nature all along was the best teacher. And, you know, throughout the history, if you go into certain communities, you would see that they were always using natural things for fertilizers and such, and they weren't going like big old industrial anhydrous ammonia tanks. You ever watch a modern day farmer?
Yep.
They can grow a lot of crops, but when in the process of doing that, inadvertently the dominoes begin to tip. And if there's a swarm of grasshoppers that are eating up the crops, and you got to get rid of those, well, in comes the pesticides. Once you kill off all the grasshoppers, then what's next in line? I hope everybody understands what I'm trying to point out here.
Understand exactly what you're trying to point out. I've been there, of course. I had a small place in North Carolina. It wasn't a farm.
You're cutting off
2.5 acres. But I had 1.25 acres of garden. And I did everything I could to organically farm that land. I had my tomato patches 36 feet by 36 feet. I used no chemical fertilizer whatsoever. Only composted material. After 2 years, I was growing 800 bushels of tomatoes on that one little bitty patch every season.
Well, see, that's amazing.
That's what's wrong?
The bug could go back 200 years from now. Okay.
Go ahead, Barry.
Organically, and because of it, they were so healthy and so strong, the bugs would not attack them.
Go ahead, Barry.
Well, Shaliz, if we think about it just for a minute, if we were to go back right now 200 years in history, and if we were able to take our society today and put them back 200 years right now and give them the food that the earth was producing 200 years ago before the introduction of all chemicals in our society, all of a sudden society would become super healthy.
Yeah.
In 2 years, 60, maybe 70% of diseases in people would disappear, because it's all about our food. It's what we put into our body, the amount of chemicals that are put into our body, the attack on our immune system. We are now, like I said before, the sickest nations in the world, Canada and the United States of America.
Oh,
yeah. 1969, we were the healthiest nations in the world. There's been a catastrophic change in our society. We've got to look at a million different factors, but when we get down to the bottom of it, chemicals that are brought into our society, our food is poison, our air is poison, our soil is poison, the beryllium, the strontium, the aluminum and mercury that they are spraying into our skies, and these patents are in place right now, you can go look them up, is destroying our biosphere. Our food is toxic, henceforth our bodies are toxic. We've got to completely reverse the trend of what we are ingesting and what we're doing to this planet if we have any hope in the future, period.
Yeah.
And we can change it. And I've talked about cannabis 1,000 times, and every time I get into these deep conversations about solutions, we have the most powerful solution in the world right now, right in front of us. But to change everything that's going on right now, folks, we're going to have to grab it and really run with it, because our planet is dying. That is a fact. How much more is it going to take? It's like you said, Shaziz, you spray the grasshopper, you kill the grasshopper, the bird comes in and eats the carcass of that grasshopper, that bird gets eaten by a wolf, that wolf gets eaten by something else, and right through the food chain. We see chemicals going through our food chain now in ways we've never seen before. We see mass die-off. A lot of different factors are doing that, but we got to look at the whole picture, what we're doing to the planet.
Yeah.
If we want any future for our children, we got to change it, and we got to change it quick.
Well,
we have the answer. It's called cannabis, folks.
Yeah, don't worry
about planting a tree. Plant an acre of raw cannabis.
Yeah.
Boom.
There's a whole lot of diabetes and a whole lot of cancers and a whole lot of stuff going on. It seems like every time I talk to people, somebody is dying of cancer. Somebody's getting chemotherapy and such. And I'm saying to them, You know, there's natural remedies out there that would be a whole lot better than chemotherapy, because I understand the science of chemotherapy, that you don't destroy nature's immune system in order to make somebody healthy. It sounds ridiculous, but that's what it does. You don't use radiation to kill off cells.
It's a medical fact that a chemo fails 97% of the time. You will live maybe 10 years maximum. Most people don't live 10 years after chemo. It prolongs, of course it's going to kill the cancer cells, but you're radiating white blood cells in your body.
Yeah.
Anybody thinks that's good idea? I mean, come on, guys.
Well, the radiation.
Out there. You know what? She says, let me add one more thought. When I was growing up as a child, I worshipped my doctor, and we were brought up to worship our doctor. I remember going to the doctor's office, we were just in awe, and anything the doctor said was fine. But now I'm at a point in my life where I think doctors are the biggest hypocrites in the world, because you can go into their office, they'll write you a prescription, you come back in 2 weeks, they'll write you another one, 3 months later you're back in there because something else is going wrong, and they'll give you another bandage. And that's what drugs are, they're a bandage. No prescription drug's going to cure you. It's going to get you back in that office in 3 or 4 months for another prescription drug. It's absolute insanity what goes on in our world. Everything we need to heal our bodies is provided by the earth.
Yeah.
The more you get back to the earth, the more your body is going to feel good. And I'm proof of that, because I'm trying to do everything I can to stay away from genetically modified food. I take a list to the grocery store. I don't eat processed foods anymore. I go to the farmer's market. I grow my own vegetables. We're doing the veggie crop right now. It's almost done. I mean, we're dehydrating food here. I mean, everything I can do to stay away from the poisons that are killing us, I'm trying to do. And everybody listening to this call today can do the same thing. Everybody can do the same thing. You just have to become aware of it, educate yourself, and determine to yourself that, hey, you know, you don't want to put this stuff in your body. There's ways to avoid it. That's all I'm saying, guys. The more you do it, the better you're going
to
feel.
If you take and scroll up to the very top of Shaziz Radio, you'll see a banner on there that my friend Simply Steve put on there. And the phrase that's on the picture up there says, nature needs no improvement, only the arrogance of man requires change.
Right.
And it's true. It's honestly true.
Well, yeah. Well, really, well, you know, Patty will agree with this when I say this. You know, we look at society over the last, maybe 150 years, really start of the Industrial Revolution. Technology started to advance at light speed, and all of a sudden along came radios, and everything else changed in our world. But really, prior to that, we look at the world as a mechanism. The Earth as a mechanism, an incredible mechanism that always, through eons, supplied whatever was existing on the Earth at that point with everything they ever needed. And sure, you know, Patty made a point earlier. That's really important for you to understand that the Earth itself has gone through catastrophic climate change. There's times in Earth's history, in geological time, that the whole Earth is covered in ice. The whole Earth. So, you know, tell me that... sure, maybe man is impacting environment and that can change in some ways, but to me the whole global warming, it to me is a scam. It's a mechanism to control the public. The GST, or the carbon tax in Canada now, is going to add another $2,500 to $4,000 a year approximately, and the government won't release the stats, but people that have studied the carbon tax realize what it's going to do to Canadian business. And what it's going to do to this Canadian taxpayer is saying it's going to add $2,500, $4,000 of additional taxes on the back of the normal middle-class Canadian family.
It develops a global tax base for what we're supposedly moving into with a global government. But the thing of it is, I do believe in climate change. I do believe that we are
experiencing
climate change right now. And it may be extreme, but it is not a result of what man done. Although man right now and the control and the mitigation that they are trying to put in is exasperating everything and providing no solution. Our solutions for climate change, we have them all. We don't need to... we can develop more, but we have enough right now to be able to get through this in a very good way, to work with nature on nature's principles, because nature does this all the time. you know?
Exactly. Whatever happened to just letting nature do what nature does?
Yeah, that's my point exactly.
Well, now, where's the profit in that?
There ain't no money to be made. That's right, Patty.
Maybe the human race will wake up to the fact that that new car in your driveway means crap, that the new TV, your pretty house, your fancy furnishings, they all mean nothing. Because if we can't give our children a planet they can live on, then our legacy as human beings is a very, very bad one. And that's what I judge myself on that. I at one time in my life, I wasn't aware of all this. And now I'm aware of it. All I can do now is try and make other people aware of it. There's always going to be people that won't listen to what we say. No matter how much common sense we try to drive into their head, how much knowledge we try to share with them, they're just not going to hear it. But there is people that are.
There's always going to be that guy.
And those are the ones who...
There's always going to be that guy on the roof waiting for God to come and save him.
Yeah, like Raymond said. Look, folks, we're down to the wire there. And it's that time.
3 hours. Let's do another product.
Yeah, I'd like to, but I got to take a break. Before we go around the table, I try to put out a little bit of words of wisdom out there for everybody. And like Barry just mentioned, if you can't get people to listen, you know, there's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink kind of deal. And that's what we're up against, because we got the answers, like Patty said. We got every single answer to every single problem out there. And until we finally realize our true potential, until we stop relying on representatives to represent we the people, until the average Joe and Jane take their true power and their true place in life and nature, until we start working in perfect harmony with nature, we're going to see a continuous decline in everything around us. We'll see sicknesses getting worse. We'll see wars become more prevalent. We'll see all the disasters that we see on a regular basis. And we'll go through this journey together, all of us, as a family. We will literally go through all the trials and tribulations ahead of us. In my book of faith, it said that no man knows the time or day that he'd come like a thief in the night. Now, I know I keep saying that, but it's really important, because this time from now until then is still our time. We haven't been confronted by our Creator to either be proud of us for our works or ashamed of us for our actions. But we have an opportunity right now, because we're standing in front of like Steve said, we have the vast sum of all man's knowledge at our fingertips. We have wonderful hearts and souls out there that are risking their safety and their health to go out and help each other. But we got to get this word out. We got to expand this round table like Two Dog does in his community, and gathering up the flags of nations to bring them together. Not to try to create one banner that we all got to stand under, but one common sense idea that we are our brother's keeper. We are the caretakers of this land and all that we survey. We've been given dominion over everything that is around. And until the time when our Creator shows up, until the last bit of sunlight comes from the sun and time itself just ceases to exist, we got a responsibility to pass on the best of the best. My dad, who I talked about earlier, he told me in no uncertain terms that I'm as good as the best and better than the rest. He wanted me to understand that I'm just as good as everybody else out there. And so you're just as good as everybody else out there. And together with the Knights of the Round Table, or any other group that you put together, or networks that you form in order to do something positive in your communities, that's what it's all about. We have the opportunity to spread the news across the world that we have the solutions that everyone has been seeking for all this time. And when we decide to be that missing piece of the puzzle and join the rest of our brothers and sisters, there is nothing, and I repeat, nothing that we can't accomplish together. That's why Two Dog does what he does. That's why Raymond does what he does. That's why Barry does what he does. And that's why Patty does what she does. That's why Stephen Gibbons shows up in the chat room. That's why all these other networks rebroadcast what we're saying. And all we're asking, we're not asking for donations. We're not asking for anything but your participation. Go out there and share these podcasts on your social media networks. Share a piece of love from your heart to a brother and sister somewhere in this world. Share a smile. Put a good word of wisdom, peace, hope, and love out there. Because now is the time, more than ever, while we're going through these trials and tribulations together as a family, even though some of us aren't listening, and even some of us might not even care, and even more of us may not even believe in a creator. We all have to believe that if we're in this boat together, this beautiful ball or flat plane flying through space or sitting idly in the moments in time, that this is our boat. And while we're poking holes in it, while the boat's sinking, it's all hands on board who are going down with the ship. We're trying to put the avoidance factor into so that we can show people out there the wisdom that we've gathered as a family and are sharing it with the world. So at the very least, there's a picture in the chat room down there that says, you are the missing piece of the puzzle. Send it viral if you can. Send this podcast viral if you can. Show people how to love their family. Show people what family love is all about. Show them what family love can really accomplish. So with that said, who wants to go first before we get up out of here? How about Patty? She's the lady of the bunch. You want to... Got any last words of wisdom?
Okay, I will. Shaziz, thank you so very, very much. And my love is with you and your family at this time. And thank you, Raymond. It's been a while since I've heard you. It was so good to hear you today. Barry, good to hear you too, and good to have two dog on. The solutions are there. Everything's there. We are the missing piece to the puzzle, like Shaziz says. And just remember to live, love, laugh, and stand strong. And just for the record, I have to put this out there. Insects do fart. I'm done.
You know, Shaziz, you said a lot a while ago when you said something about it's time for the people to stand up and join together, and they've done it. Now we need to do it a little bit further, and we need to start telling scientists that oops ain't cutting it anymore. Oops on the chemicals don't cut it. Oops just plain doesn't cut it. They need to be held responsible for their actions. That's it.
Yep.
Amen. But you know what, Jesus? I'm glad that we helped you save this show today, because I think it would have been a real loss to anybody listening to this today not to hear this conversation. I think we all made some great points. I want to thank anybody that's tuning in and listening. Maybe some of our thoughts resonate with you today. How we all see our future for our children, what we're really here for, is being able to give our family and our future, giving our kids a future. And right now, the way things are going, it doesn't look good, but we do have the solutions. We really have to sit down and look ourselves in the mirror and ask ourselves what's really, really important in our lives, man, the short time that we exist on this planet. You know, my answer to that is that the most important thing in my life right now is my connection with Jesus, but also being able to provide a future for my children. And what we see going on in this planet is just beyond anything that any of us should be going through in our lifetime. This is not what we were designed to be in as an existence. We are a chemical-laden, government-controlled bureaucracy that is beyond anything that any of us should be forced to live in. We have the answers, guys. I keep talking about cannabis, and that's something I really urge anybody to go really investigate the multiple uses of it and how it could change everything we're doing to our planet today. It really, really could do that. We have millions of other solutions, and they all have to be brought to the table if we want a future for our children. If not, we're looking at a very bleak pile of poop to leave in my world. So let's not try and do that. Let's try and work on some of these solutions. Thanks for having me in Shaziz. My prayers are with you in your time of sorrow, buddy.
I thank you, brother. I thank you for your words of wisdom and your advice and your love and everything. I thank you for the time you share with me. I'm honored. So how about you, Two Dog?
I've been honored to be on the show today, but I've had a request to do a prayer for y'all, for everyone today, so I would be honored to do that. God, Jesus, get you mighty to all the names that people call you around the world. Hear me. I thank you, Grandfather, for I have been able to greet you in the morning when the sun come up, and that you have allowed me to waken my eyes today. I thank you for the hearts you have gave us all and the wisdom that has come from this show. Grandfather, when I walk from this home, when I walk to my brothers and sisters, all colors of all people, it's not about color, it's about the human being, and it's about to be in my relations and my brothers and sisters, aunts, uncles, grandfathers, grandmothers, mothers and fathers. May I walk to people today and give them my hand and say thank you for allowing me to speak to you today. May we walk on this earth and may we understand that we are part of this nature. And as nature goes, so goes all. May we understand and go back and be the system of the focus that you wish for us to be. And that is the honor and the respect of everything. And in this time, Grandfather, we thank you for the life, the love, the happiness, everything you have gave us is to be honored. And we thank you with all our heart. I hope to talk about it.
Amen. Thank you for that, brother. That was a heartfelt message. Thank you very much. Folks, you've been listening to tonight's The Round Table. I'm going to leave you with a song, because if you actually listen to the lyrics of this song, it's got a really good message. It's called I Hope You Dance. And to me, it tells me about we take the best opportunities, the best time to do the best that we can. And we don't miss out on this wonderful thing that we've been given called life. Don't miss out on the times with your family. Don't ever miss out on the chance to say you love somebody. It's really important.
Time to dance for love is this right now.
Amen, brother. You've been
never
mistake, but it's worth making. Don't let some helping heart leave you bitter. When you come close to selling out, reconsider. Give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Over there. I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet! But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up, will you? Shut up!
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system. Help, help, I'm being repressed.
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines to border scenes to footwork impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rhyme that are quite unsingable. We're off to mad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.